apartment. B.
You're now tuned into the Apartment 5B podcast, where we chop it up about hip-hop, R&B, sports, love, and life. Hosted by Kill.
What's good? You're to Apartment 5B, hosted by your man, Kill. I got my squad with me in effect, as always. My mother raised me right. Ladies first. Jim, what's going on, miss?
Hi, how's it going, everybody? How's it going?
Everything good. I got my brother, Veg, from BK. What's good, bro?
You mind if I play a flute real quick?
Do your thing, bro. Do your thing. I want you to do your thing, because this next Vegas and Kill project, it ain't no boom bap, bro. I'm playing the bassoon. Vegas playing the flute. I want y'all to fuck with us, all right? I don't want nobody fronting on us now, so get ready for it. Fuck this boom bap shit. Bassoons and flutes from here on out, 2024. Tone from Into the Dome, what's good, baby?
Everything is love. It's almost Friday. I'm good.
Yes. Man,
you can't complain with that. Y'all know me, let me jump right into with this. We're talking about this week. So I was talking to my young boy on Twitter the other day. We was chopping up about MCs, and we was talking about Pharaoh, and he was like, yeah, Pharaoh, yeah, alright. I was like, oh shit, it's time for a Pharaoh Monch show. And if you think Pharaoh Monch is just alright, we gotta do the show. So prayerfully, if you rock with our Apartment 5B salute shows, we talk about when the first time you heard this artist or producer, top 5 songs, 5 verses, all that good stuff, your favorite albums, where do they rank for you, and just some of your favorite moments with those people. So, Jim, why don't you set us off? When is the first time you heard Pharaoh Monch? And then when is the first time you knew Monch was nice? Because sometimes it's not at the same time. You know, it may have came later. So when was the first time you heard Pharaoh?
Okay, so the first time I was about around middle school, it was The Stress by Organized Confusion, that video with him and Prince Poe in the snow. That was my first introduction. I thought he was nice then. That whole video and like the delivery like kind of made me, you know, sit up and take attention. So I'll say probably like at that moment. Really more so with the design, with the song Desire, that really also like, that was really a moment. I was like, oh yeah, he rapping. Yep, that was my introduction to Pharaoh Monch.
Right, no doubt. Mine was similar. Mine was Organized Confusion, but with Fudge Pudge off their first album. So I heard Fudge Pudge, and it was like, yo, this is dope. You know what I mean? But I wasn't like blown away by Organized. Like, I'm one of those very few people. I really didn't really start really fucking with Organized till Equinox. You know what I mean? Like, even with the Stress joint, I like the Large Pro remix more. Like, my biggest beef with Organized was they beats. And me being in my producer bag real heavy, I never really loved a lot of their beats on their first 2 albums. You know what I mean? So I don't think I really heard them as much as I should have been hearing them. But they was dope, like, no doubt. But when I heard that Large Pro Distress remix, I was like, yeah, this shit is crazy. These dudes is crazy and everything like that. But I think when I kind of knew Monch was, like, really nice, I ain't gonna hold you, I was Simon Says. It was like, then it was like, yo, this shit is dope. And the funny thing about it is, and I want to talk about this later, I almost felt like he kind of, I don't even want to say dumbed down, but because Simon Says is so crazy, but I feel like Pharaoh is such a lyrical alien. Like, him coming down to earth to kind of dumb down for us isn't really like dumbing down for like the normal person. It's like, you're a fucking alien and you need to dumb it down for us mere mortals to really hear you. Because Organized, for me, Organized is not no music you could put on in the background and clean your house. Organized is like an encyclopedia. Like, we gonna sit down, listen to this album, decipher it together. This is a real mental masterpiece right here. And I felt like, you know, Simon Says, it was, again, I don't know a better way to say it. Like, I don't, do y'all get what I'm saying? Like, it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I actually had some thoughts about that because it's on my list for one of those things. But No, I agree. In some ways, I was kind of happy for Simon Says because I knew he would get a look.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, here's the gateway drug.
Right.
But then
the
substance is on the album. So yeah.
That's the perfect thing, because I don't want when people hear, I don't want people to hear it dumbed down like Simon Says is whack. I think Simon Says is one of my favorite songs ever. You know what I mean? But it just wasn't the Organized Confusion in vitro, like you really gotta be paying attention like to it, but it was still dope. So that was like my big thing with Pharrell was, of course, hearing him with Organized, but it probably wasn't until Simon Says that. And I mean, I always knew he was nice, but I think that's when I really became a fan with life with Simon Says. Veg, what about you? When's the first time you were a fan?
Same thing, Fudge Pudge. And really, I was more into OC because I, you know, that was my first experience. And it was the video for me. Like, I just saw the video and I think I heard the song on the radio, but seeing the people rapping was another thing. And what's the other one?
Stole my last piece of chicken.
Yeah, cause I was like, who would make that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But everything they were saying was true. So I thought, you know, it was a fun time in hip hop. When I knew he was nice was that second album.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that second album, both of them were like technicians, and I was like, oh, they can do it on a level that's not Who Stole the Last Piece of Chicken. So I think for me, I kind of, and for y'all kids who don't know, he was Fat Romance back then also, you know, totally different guy, but it's so dope that his style, and we'll talk about it, has transcended time and influenced some of your favorite rappers, what we don't talk about, you know.
True indeed. That's a good point too, Vay, because I knew he was nice on Stress, the album. I just wasn't in love with the beats. That was always been my thing. Then when this joint came out, I love Equinox. And this is a funny thing. Most people don't like Equinox. But to me, this album, like, I mean, Sound Man, They Don't Want It, you know, Confrontations, Numbers, even the single Somehow, Some Way was crazy. You know what I mean? So, and just love the whole piece of this. So to say I knew Pharrell was nice was definitely during the Stress album, the Straight Bullet days. So what about you, good brother?
I mean, we showing our age, man, because I'm going to go with Fudge Pudge as well. That's literally the first time I heard the song is when I saw the video. You know, so I just happened to be looking at TV and I saw the video. And like Beg said, I liked OC at the time, but Pharrell did say some pretty slick joints in his verse on Fudge Pudge, though. You know what I'm saying? But I thought he was nice. The second album, the beats was a little bit better than the debut. But both of those first two albums kind of left a little bit to be desired for me from production wise, because I was stuck on that Tribe Called Quest production from Low End Theory and Dr. Dre and all that stuff like that. So I'm like, ah, these dudes can rap, man, but I don't really love the beats. But when the Equinox came out, that was my favorite Organized Confusion album. And it was because it had more, you know, 90s boom bap beats. You know what I'm saying? And it fit they rhyme, because Poe and, you know, and Poe is technically great too. You know what I'm saying? So they're lyricists. I was glad that the beats kind of meshed with the rhymes, man. But I think that I felt like Pharrell was dope on the second album, Straight Bullet, I think, and all that stuff. But that Equinox, man, when his rhyming just went up to another level to me on that joint, man. I know we're gonna get into some of that, but that's the one when I was like, okay, he's really nice, like nice.
Yeah. Tell me this, Jim, what are five of your favorite Pharrell songs, and why did you pick these joints?
Okay, so first one, of course, is Simon Says. I like that. I don't say it's a party record for me, but I like that. It's a starter for me. So Simon Says, Bar Tap. The beat for that song caught me first before the listening to the lyrics. But that's one of my favorites. Let's see, Desire. I think I mentioned that one before. That one was my favorite because he had like some really good verses. I'm on that one. Free. And I hear. Yeah. Free. And No Mercy. Was that five?
Yeah. That No Mercy joint with MOP, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That thing right there was crazy. I mean,
it's hard.
Young boy Alchemist, back when he was still using drums, like, yo, that was it for me right there. You know, the No Mercy joint. For me, I'm like, Jen, I got Desire, man, and we'll talk about the lyrics in that. But I mean, again, I always felt like him and Alchemist just had a dope synergy together. Like, No Mercy is him and Alchemist, Desire is Alchemist. They just, you know, I always was just sitting here praying and hoping for this Alchemist Monch album, you know. But, you know, the other thing about Monch, we'll get into it, but like, to me, he's like the hip-hop Sade. Like, this dude will go 20 years without making an album and, you know, just pop back up or whatever like that. But I definitely got Desire. Simon Says, y'all, like, we were at 889 when this came out, and I just remember playing it and you hearing the Godzilla sample and the beat is hard, and he's like telling girls rub on their titties. I'm like, yo, I love this shit. Like, it's like an anthem to me. Like, it's the greatest shit ever. The Jungle, you know what I mean? This joint is off of, I want to say this is off of PTSD. He's just comparing everything in the hood to the jungle, you know what I mean? And I'm going to talk about some of those lyrics a little bit later. You got Trilogy off of the Desire album, which is just a crazy story. The joint's like 9 minutes long.
Yes.
And it, were you saying something?
Yes, awesome, bro.
Yeah, just crazy. And then Clap. Clap was, you know, I think the first single off of War. This joint right here, War, which was crazy. And the video was crazy, too, about that. So, I mean, just... And I mean, I think another thing about Pharrell, I mean, there's so many things that we're going to talk about. I'm going to just jot it down here. But those would be my top five right there. Vague, what about you?
All right, my top five, Simon Says, for everything that was said. I like the energy of the joint. I like the beat. Jen, it was in the club, so it's okay to call it a party record because they were playing that joint.
Yeah.
Which was dope, right? It's Pharrell Monch. You know,
right.
99.
And that was the beautiful thing. It was like, again, we got to come up with a better word than dumbing down or crossing over, because it was none of those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't a cross, because when I think crossover, I think, oh, this nigga just rhyming over, you know, a loop everybody know. Like, I don't know how he did it. It was like some magical Pharrell alien shit where it was like, it's not dumbed down and it's not crossed over, but people understood it and it was played everywhere.
He simplified his style a little bit to conform to the radio and to the clubs, man. And it was a beautiful thing because it turned a lot of people on who weren't like hip-hop heads to Pharrell, because we knew about him. But a lot of people like, who's this dude with the Godzilla sample and the, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun, you know? It's like, well, we know this. And we like, we glad about this because now people can go back to discography and even, you know, some of his stuff and say, okay, dude is nice.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like you said, it almost feels like an ante up. You know what I mean? Because I don't feel like it was anything done on purpose. Like, I don't think anybody crafted, yo, we gonna sample Godzilla and this shit gonna take over the radio and we gonna shut down the tunnel with this. It was just, you just made a dope song. We said to him?
Yeah, it was organic.
Yeah, it was just organic. It's like ante up. Like, nobody is really thinking this song about robbing niggas is gonna be getting played 30 years from now, you know, at fucking WWF wrestling events, on commercials and all this stuff. So it's just, yeah, again, so yeah, cause I hate saying dumbing down or crossing over, but it, like you said, Tony, it was just organic that it just worked, you know. So it was dope in the clubs, it was dope on the radio, and like you said, put Pharrell in front of a lot of people. What are your top five, Tone?
Hold up, I ain't finished.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad, Vag. I'm sorry, my bad.
One other point on, I guess you could look at it this way. Don't look at crossover as what EPMD said it was. It just crossed over to a broader audience, but it's actually a positive, especially when it's organic, right? Because you didn't make it to do with that goal in mind. I think that's what EPMD was talking about. Like, don't compromise the art, just satisfy them. But man, when that shit was in a club, like, everything looked dope. Like, the lights are flashing, everybody's moving. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, everybody's united, basically. Ante Up was different, because once you start saying those lyrics, you're like, yo, hold up, man. Let me, like, fight in here, like, because these lyrics suggested some other shit. All right. Right Here. Now, I'm being a little selfish. Because first of all, when I heard the beat, I was like, oh shit, I need the instrumental.
Right.
But I just wanted, and it's for the boroughs. You know, you hear how he say Brooklyn on that, right? He's not from there, right. But you hear how he say
right.
I love that because it was kind of like, it's respect for all the boroughs, but it's also understanding the boroughs at the same time without feeling like, oh, I'm a Queens dude bigging up, you know, Brooklyn and these other boroughs more than my borough. So I thought it was a really dope record. And then again, his flow over that beat, just sick. So another one is Rapid Eye Movement, featuring Black Thought. I heard that joint, I was like, this is just unfair. Like, these niggas is, I'm not writing anything like that. Like, what, these niggas is nice. Like, I love that record off of PTSD. Love from The Shining, Jay Dilla's joint, featuring
That's a dope Sparrow.
Yeah, man. I listen to that album like to this day, and it's always, as much as I listen to it, you know how you feel like you forget, like, damn, I forgot Pharoah was on here.
Yeah.
And I went and listened to it, and I was like, yeah, this is one of my favorite joints from him. And lastly, a joint he put out a couple years ago wasn't on any album, which kind of pisses me off. It was only a video. It's called 24 Hours. Featuring Lil Fame, and they talking about record labels giving them their money. And I thought this was like a lead up to an album, because the shit is crazy. Both of their verses is crazy. The beat's crazy. I think he produced the beat, directed the video, all of that. But it's on YouTube. It's called 24 Hours featuring Lil Fame. When you see it, you might remember it, but because it didn't land on any projects, it gets forgotten. It's not on streaming services either. When I heard that, I was like, oh, that's nuts. So, and that's a more recent Pharoah Monch track. So, those are my five. But you can't pick five with that cat. Like, it's difficult.
No, bro, it's so hard. And we're going to get into these albums. Tone, what's your five, bro?
Yeah, I'm going to go first, like earlier, Trilogy. And it's of Desire. And Trilogy, man, is like Pharoah's version of Undying Love. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The beat switched three times, and then, you know, he was just like, yo, your homie banged his wife, man. He was like, we grew up together, man. Run DMC tougher than leather. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, yeah, Trilogy is an awesome song. If you want to listen, man, go listen to that joint, man. It's amazing. The joint Queens off Eternal Pharoah's, man. I think Pharoah actually produced that track, too. He told a dope story about the dude, man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's a nice story, man. So, Queens is very dope. He had that joint Calculator Amalgamation or something like that. Oh, I think that's on War Renegades album, but the lyrics and the flow on that, you know, that Calculator joint is crazy. No Mercy, like we said a few minutes ago with M.O.P.'s, one of my favorite songs on Turn Up Pharoah's, and a joint called Hold On Desire with Erykah Badu on the hook. You know what I'm saying? Very joint. Some self-love joint, you know what I'm saying? With him talking when the lady's talking to her daughter or whatever, letting her know she's beautiful and all that, you know, it's real deep joint, man. So Hold On it's a jewel, nice hip-hop jewel that a lot of people haven't heard. So those are my five.
Yeah, man. The crazy thing, too, I want to salute Monch on is just the creativity. I mean, when you look at some of these album covers, you know what I mean? Like that, I mean, just every album cover to me was just... You got him on the Mummy joint right here with Desire, you know. Then you getting hit with the, you know, the War joint, and then like the PTSD joint is just crazy too. So, just his creativity with the album covers is just crazy to me. And Tone, you made me think of another one of my favorite joints, Still Standing with Jill Scott. Because the thing too about Monch, which is incredible, he's got asthma. You know what I mean? So. You think about the flows that this dude be doing, you know, as an asthmatic is just, you know, crazy right there. Now, the thing about Monch, I mean, he's been in this game since 98, but he's only had out four albums. You know what I mean? We got this new joint he dropped with his Rock Group 13 a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? Right. But technically, he's only had four joints out. Jen, what is your favorite Pharoah Monch album and why? If you're introducing somebody to Pharoah, what album are you sending them to first?
I would send them to Desire first, but I would also implore them to listen to PTSD too, but I think sometimes that might be, I think PTSD might not be like the best intro. It might be a little too much. So I would say Desire first and then PTSD.
All right. And maybe, and I apologize, I probably asked that question wrong. What is your favorite Pharrell album before who you would send it to? Because it may not be the same thing.
Okay. So my favorite is PTSD.
PTSD. Okay. Why? What spoke to you about this joint?
I like the way that it's, I love good storytelling. So the format of the album, you know, is about like the veteran, you know, the deals with heroin addiction, and it kind of, the album song by song walks through that. So that's why that's one of my favorite songs, or one of my favorite song from off of there is Broken Again. That kind of recounts, you know, someone going through addiction or what have you. I thought it was a very deep album. So that's one of my favorites. Like I said, not one I would use to introduce someone, but if you had to ask me one that was near to me, it would be that.
Right. This is so hard for me because, I mean, I really love all four of his albums. I mean, I guess Gun to Head, my favorite, will probably be Internal Affairs. Like, I mean, I believe this is a 5-mic album. I believe Pharrell's probably got 2 or 3. Like, and I'm sure I'm in the small minority of people who think he has that many. I know some people who don't think he has any. But this to me is definitely a 5-mic classic. I mean, there's so much good stuff on here. I mean, The Light, No Mercy, like we said, Right Here, Queens. Like someone's talking about, I use that Maxwell sample for If the Cops Come Knocking. So that like caught my ear from the door. But yeah, I would probably say this joint. I would probably start people off with this. You know what I mean? Because I see what you're saying, Jim, with PTSD. That may be too deep. Like people ain't ready for just yet. You gotta work your way. You gotta be in the mood for that. So I would probably say this is my favorite, and I would probably set people off as this is a good starting point, you know, for Pharrell. Vague, what about you?
My favorite album is PTSD. I think what I like most about it, especially at that time, is it's more mature than, it's more like Eternal Affairs than any of his projects, but it's more mature than that work, and it features everything, right? There's the, I mean, he's always with the bars, but there's the display of skill, there's the topics that don't get touched on in hip-hop enough, and you know, some Stand Your Ground records like that. So I like that there's a lot of consciousness, there's a lot of lyrical ability, the beats work. It's just a nice snapshot into who he is, like probably closer to today than anything. But I would start somebody out on Eternal Fans only because like we said earlier, it's a nice gateway into what he does. There's a couple of tracks you could say, oh, okay, I get it, I like this, and then you can build from there. Because like you said, with the album covers, his albums are the exact same way, right? Like Desire is nothing like Eternal Affairs and nothing like War. And War is an extension of PTSD, but it's also very different. So, yeah, man, that's the thing about him. He's really slept on and underrated and everything you want to say, because he has a really dope catalog. And if somebody said 5 mics for each one of those, I wouldn't really argue with him. So.
Now tell me this, because I didn't ask Jen this. Jen, do you feel like Pharrell has a 5-mic classic album?
Yes. Yes, I'd probably say Internal Affairs would be like the closest thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it still holds. I mean, that to me, that's what a 5-mic does. It still hold up today. Would you still listen to it today? It would it still be considered good today?
Right.
And so, I all think right.
So you?
Maybe I won't say 5. I'll say 4.5.
All right. Vague, do you think, I know you said you wouldn't be mad if somebody had them all 5, but do you have Pharrell, you know, with a classic album? Because again, this is one of the other debates people get into. Can somebody be dope? Can somebody be top 10 if they don't have a classic album? Is it okay to have a whole discography of 4, the 4.5? So, whole nother discussion. But Vague, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think his debut solo is his classic. For a lot of the reasons I like PTSD, but that's a little bit more potent. He's like an acquired taste, and that's the best, again, entry into what he does. So like I may personally like a lot of the other ones a little bit better because of the content, But you can't beat that one. That one, like that damn Simon Says hit. It's like, oh, okay, this is what we doing. Turn that shit up. Like, you know what I'm saying? You in for the ride instantly. No trying to figure shit out. None of that. Let me just say one thing for those watching. So I like what you said earlier, Kill, about, you know, Equinox was you saying, okay, yo, let's just sit down and really listen and figure out what they saying, and, you know, and how you were satisfied by that, right? The experience, right, and what you discovered listening to their lyrics. There's a lot of cats now that do that with these other dudes like Billy Woods and all of that, but they not rapping like this. The difference is niggas just saying shit like, I put my Nintendo over there, but it was over here, and now I got the game. And you like, nigga, I get it. It doesn't right. take much. But like, what they don't understand is like a record like Numbers. It's like, nah, man, you may have to go through a couple of grades in school to understand this song. Like, this ain't right. something that you could just jump into. So I just wanted to point that out because it's a popular thing, and there's no knock against these cats because I kind of like it because it's different. But Pharoah's on a different level with it. So
I like the way you said that. It made me think, and I don't know how it is in New York or, you know, Tony, North Carolina, but in Philly, we had the Daily News, the Philadelphia Daily News, and we had the Philadelphia Inquirer. And for years, you know, I'm growing up, I never knew why we had two different newspapers. But then I interned there when I was a junior in high school. And basically what it was is like the Philadelphia Daily News, like the dumbed down news. It was like, here is just the blurb. The Philadelphia Inquirer was really for the people who wanted to really go deep into the news. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's kind of like what Pharoah was. You know what I mean? When you listen to Organized, you got to be prepared to really read the newspaper. You know, like, this is not for, like, the average. Like I said, you're not cleaning your crib while you're listening to Organized Confusion. Like, you're going to just miss out on everything, you know? So I feel like that's, like, the difference. And so, Veg, I get what you're saying. Like, you know, everybody wants to try to be deep now. And everybody's not deep. You know what I mean? Everybody, it's okay to be the Daily News. Guess what, y'all? I never read the Inquirer. I just wanted to give me the snapshot of what the news is and let me keep it moving. But I think that's really what Organized Confusion is. Because I do want to talk a little bit later on about y'all thoughts on Organized, because you never hear their names come up. You know what I mean? When you talk about hip hop groups, I almost never hear their name come up. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Tone, what about you? What is your favorite album? And then what is the album that you would use to introduce people to Maj?
My favorite is probably Turn Off Pharoah's, because that's, to me, is when he was able to get loose. You know what I'm saying? Like, he broke away from Poe. He was able to give you all the verses on his own, produced some of the beats on the album, some of the best beats on the album. He produced it. You know what I'm saying? He's an underrated producer, actually. Pharoah can make some beats. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got the joint with Mrs. Hell, with Cannabis, The True. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Queens. Man, Eternal Affairs is dark to me. It kind of fits the album cover. Like, all of his joints, his songs fit his album covers. You know what I'm saying? And it's dark. Very lyrical. You know what I'm saying? Now, to turn on some new fans to him, I might use Desire, because Desire is clean. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very lyrical, don't get me wrong. But he actually, like I said earlier, made it simplify some songs where you can follow it a little bit easier for fans or whatever, but it's a dope album, man. So I would probably turn someone on. They say, hey, I want to get into Pharoah. I say, look, check Desire out, because he's gonna give you some storytelling with Trilogy. He's gonna give you some joints like the joint with Erykah Badu. He got some rapid fire on there as well, the guns draw or whatever. So he give you a little bit of everything with Desire, but Eternal Affairs will be the one. The Eternal Affairs is a personal classic of mine. Now, hip hop classic, you know, I think you know how I look at the word classic. When I'm thinking about right. the Chronic and Changing the Game, I look at classic a lot different than most people. But I do feel like a personal classic would be, or underground classic, definitely Turn Off Pharoah's for me. It's a great album.
All right. Jen, now this may be different. This may be the same. What would be your top five verses from Pharoah? they may be the same as the songs, you know what I mean? They may be different, so that's why I wanted to ask. Are they the same? Are they different?
Do I got to say the verse?
No. You ain't got to say it. I'm an attempt to, but I've been told on Twitter I'm an old man with a gray beard, so I'm going to probably fuck up. So I'm going to try to attempt to say some verses. By all means, if you would like to spit some foul verses.
So again, Desire. And it was like, when my brain excels, your trade, I wrote this down, trade derails, pop shit make you feel clips like for real.
For real. Yeah. You will feel me.
Yeah.
That crazy. Was one. Yeah. Let's see. He had like another good verse, of course, on No Mercy, Bar Cap. That was three. Oh goodness. Of course, Simon Says and Free. Is that five?
All right. Yeah.
Real quick about the quoted verse or line. What I love about it is it's not one of them forced ass lines. It's just you hear it, then you like, ooh, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you like, oh, that was a good joint. Not again, I'm just shitting on people, but not these niggas that just be saying shit. 1 + 1 = 2, and you like, yeah, that's what it is. Like, I just love the fact that you know, you said that line, and then it was like I never heard it before. I was like,
this. Yeah. Right. It was a 2 hour old here. He's come around. You're the next contestant on Catch a Beat Down. I don't know why when that comes on in the club, like that part, when we get to the Catch a Beat Down part, it's, I don't know, it just comes in a little pandemonium. So that verse.
Yo, I feel you. I feel you. I'm a tag on with Jim with Desire. I'm gonna try this. Comprehend the guidelines. My chest out, chinchilla all relaxed on the sidelines. I'm so famous. Understand New York City respects my game like Joe Namath. And I protect my name like yo anus. In prison, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't listen. Y'all just want to shine. Y'all just want to glisten. Floss knowing that the soul is still missing. Who am I? I'm the poetical pastor. Slave to my label, but I own my masters. Still getting popping without artists and repertoire, because March is a monarch, only minus the A&R.
Come on, man.
Like, yeah, that right there. Like, March is only a monarch. Only minus the A&R. When you just got finished saying, I get it popping without artists and repertoire. Like,
just
come on. Like, again, you know what I mean? Like, and somebody really needs to understand. Yo, when I heard this, it was like, I mean, and I think we've all said Desire. Like, it's something about that verse that's just perfect. And then it goes into what Jen said, you know, pop shit make you feel the clips like Pharrell. You will feel me. You will admire my struggle, my hustle, my soul desire. The second verse, my book is an ovary. My pages, I lust to turn. My pen's the penis. When I write, the ink's the sperm.
Yeah.
Like, bro, stop playing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to my young boy, like yo, Manchai, like, I, like, nigga, who's writing this shit? Like, yo, if this is I, like, tell me who's nice. You know what I mean? God, we're something else in here. Another one was, one of the things I love about Manch is on all his songs, he's had all his albums, he's had songs about gun violence. You know what I mean? From going back to Straight Bullets to Damage, when the guns are drawn. God, like, let me see, which one is this? For Damage. When he talks about, he says, then I will ring your bell like Avon before displaying some of my various tattoos. Trayvon, the Oscar award-winning Anaya Jones, Hey Sean. And again, people listening, you got to listen to the song and how he's saying it. Because when he's saying, you know, I'll ring your bell like Avon, Trayvon, you know, when he's like, you know, before displaying some of my various tattoos, Trayvon, of course, Trayvon Martin, the Oscar award winning, talking about Oscar Grant, Anaya Jones, before he says, hey, Sean, talking about Sean Bell. So just the way that he's able to craft all these names of people who have been killed by gun violence. And if you're just listening to the verse, it may go right over your head that he's even naming people who have been killed by guns. And I mean, that's fucking amazing to me. Was this Damage? Nah, this is Clap. But Clap, at the end of it, it's like the drums stop and then it's just clapping. It's like no respect, no manners. It's Mad Max with multiple Macs. mad banana clips and a black hammer that hits the back of the black talon, slew of hollow tips to the wall of your blue silence, and selective theatric collective dramatics. I'm fucking this all up, but again, it's just... Yeah. It's just crazy, like what Maj does. It's just crazy. Where was this? When the guns are drawn. This was crazy because he says, good evening. My name is Mr. Bullet. I respond to the index when you pull it, the trigger. So make a note, make a vote. Quick man, nicknames Quaker Oats, because whether domestic violence or coke deal, see how less has charged brain matters to oatmeal. And when I kill kids, they say shame on me. But who the fuck told you to put their name on me? You know what I mean? So it's almost like a gun being like, yo, y'all blaming me, nigga. Y'all the one who's shooting these people. So right. Again, Monch is just, I mean, I could go on all night, but I mean, it's just so many dope verses, No Mercy. Just set it off with you. Bury me with my SP 1200. You know what I mean? We could just stop and start with that right there. When you tell them, just, you know, fuck the Trinity, you know, inseminate the world, now take its virginity. Like, yo, I can't. Yeah, and I'm doing this no justice at all. So people watching, please listen. Go listen to the songs because they're much better than me saying them. But Vague, what you got for some of your favorite verses from Mosh, man?
All right, I think I just lost him. Hold up. Yeah, so I'm gonna have to try to freestyle. All right, so the. And I'm not quoting shit, especially since I can't find my list. The first verse on Simon says, I think just the, like, we were trying not to refer to it as dumbing down, but I don't even think it was dumbing down. It was like, I'm nicer than y'all. So I'm going to start on this shit. And it was a different flow, but it was still advanced for cats who make that kind of music for the club. I had desire. I had 24 hours because, you know, he talking about, and I think it was real too. He talking about give me my money. And again, he can't help but to do it in such a creative way that it's not just dope because it's boom bap, but it's like layered and shit. Oh no. Now, Mos Def killed that.
That's actually a dope.
But. Pharaoh, and it was almost like he was stuttering at a part in there, but he was using the syllables that were, you know, all S's and besses and all of that. And I was like, yo, this nigga's just like, he is hip hop, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Just organic.
At a point, it was like, nigga, you just showing off now, just stop,
right?
Like, stop, yeah, right. Like, just stop right. Showing off, man. Like, we get it, you're nicer than everybody else.
Right. What was that? Four?
Yeah.
I cannot remember what the last one was. I think it was Gorilla Monsoon Rap.
Ooh. Off of Talib's. Yeah.
Ooh. Quality album, right?
Yeah, man.
That was off Talib's quality album, yeah.
Off that album. Again, both Black Thought, Talib killed it. But then, This is the thing I love about Pharaoh Monch. It's the same reason why I call LL Go. So y'all need to know. All right. But Pharaoh from a whole nother era. You know what I'm saying? Talib's new in this era, right? Black Thought's kinda new for that time when that came out, right? Or new in this way, right? They've been around for a while, right. Albums came out. But Pharaoh's like from like when I was, you know, fucking ninth grade, and he's crazy on it. You know what I'm saying? Still, like, evolving. So, those are my five, man. And what I like about it is just the five that I chose. They're just all the five that we all chose. They're just so different from one another. So,
right. Were you going to say something, Jen?
No.
I mean, yeah, and I think, Vega, great point you brought up, too, is each one of these albums are different. You know what I mean? So you're not getting the same Pharaoh every time, and I wonder if sometimes that's why people don't fuck with him more, because I feel like a lot of fans, they want the same thing every time, and that's not what Pharaoh's gonna give you. You know what I mean? It reminds me of when D'Angelo did Brown Sugar, and then he came out with Voodoo. I remember my niggas coming up to the radio station like, I'm not really feeling this Voodoo shit. You know what I mean? because they wanted Brown Sugar Part 2 and it was something totally different. Then I knew people who weren't feeling Black Messiah because they wanted Voodoo Part 2, and it's like Black Messiah is something that's totally different. Like to me, these are artists. Like, this is what you get when you fuck with an artist. You're going to get something new every time because it's going to be a reflection of wherever they are at their time. And to me, that's the dopest thing we can ask for. You know what I mean? Were you going to say that?
To piggyback really quick, because I like your analogy with D'Angelo, because the first time I ever saw him in concert was when he dropped wherever it is, Vanguard. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever saw him. Now, I'm a huge D'Angelo fan. You know that. So when I'm in there, I know every song, every remix, and he's still doing different things with this music. But I was also looking for the fans who were waiting for Untitled. Because to them, that's who D'Angelo was. And when I tell you it was frustrating as a real fan of it, but a fan who understands all of his work and what he is as an artist, it was frustrating to see a person not engaged because he didn't get to one song. I think in a lot of ways you're right, because I was like that with Desire when it first came out. I'm like, damn, what's all this singing, man? What's the Negro spirituals? What you doing? But then I had to remember who I was talking about. You know, I had to remember who I was talking about, and I was like, okay, now I really like it. Like, you know what I'm saying? So.
Right. And I mean, I think that can, you know, I don't think most fans want to see you grow. You know what I mean? Like, fans say we want you to grow, but do y'all really want Pusha T telling y'all how to raise y'all children? Like, no. We want them telling us how to sell coke. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds cool. Like, yeah, grow up. Red man, why are you still talking about weed? And why y'all still in quick? But some people, that's where they want to be. And then there's other times when people do want to grow. And they do want to, you know, venture out and do different things. And again, I think Monch is just, you know, dope like that. But I'm just thinking of maybe why people don't catch on, because it's funny that so many people love Black Thought but don't love Monch like that. You know, but we're going to get into that later. Tone, what are your top five verses from Monch?
So one I like is on that Wake Up Show. One of those Wake Up Show anthems, man. The one he was on with Eminem, Kool G Rap, and a lot of lyricists on that joint. But his verse was insane in the midst of all those other lyricists, man. You know what I'm saying? So there's that Wake Up Show anthem. You know what I'm saying? He killed that joint. In Vitro, just the first verse talking about Chapter. You know, him and Nas has a lot of similarities. Like I said earlier, with Trilogy, then you know Nas had Undying Love. In Vitro comes after Fetus, you know what I'm saying, that Nas was going to originally have on the I Am. You know, same way the Straight Bullet came before I Gave You Power. You know what I'm saying? So they got that kind of Queens connection. Got a lot of common, man. So In Vitro verse, the joint The Mayor on Sound Bombing. You know what I'm saying? The first verse on Sound Bombing is very dope. Of course, the first verse on Straight Bullet is very, you know, it has that descriptive feel of that bullet, you know what I'm saying, going through the neighborhood, et cetera, so I like that joint. And then his verse on Somehow, Some Way on the Equinox, man, and that's again one of my favorite albums, I think, of 1997, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, Somehow, Some Way, one of the singles to the album, and his verse on that was stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought I loved how they freaked the Snoop line, and I thought it was a dope first single, you know what I mean? But We gonna talk about Organized. Now tell me this. I kind of just touched on it. Thought is looked at as a goat. You know, I know people feel like Black Thought is the dopest MC ever. He's the goat. No debate with that. You know, it is what people think. But why do you think Pharoah doesn't get that look? I mean, I remember when Thought did the Hot 97 thing. And my Twitter was blowing up, my phone was blowing up, and I'm like, nigga, I've been seeing Thought do that shit since day one. You know what I mean? Nigga, listen to the Lyricist Lounge CD from back in 97 when they had the Bob Beato joint on there, and him and Common was on there going off, you know? But
you know what?
Will you say so?
Go ahead, finish.
No, I was just going to say, so what do you think? Because, you know, Vague, when you're saying Gorilla Monsoon Rap, I'm like, right, Thought, Monch, you know, Rapid Eye Movement, Thought, Monch, you know, but Thought gets all this love. you know. But I don't see Mach get any of it. What do y'all think it is?
I think that moment in time with that funk flex. I mean, you know, there's different moments of hip hop when something like big happened, right? Regardless of how you, you know, how you receive it, the funk flex freestyle is like took Black Thought to immortality. You know, and like that's how people looked at it. Like this was a moment in time. Hip hop stopped. It's like, yo, did you fucking hear that Black Thought on funk flex? Even though fans of the Roots heard Black Thought rapping like this on Illa Def Half Life. You know what I'm saying? Him and Malik right. B. He been rapping like that. You know what I'm saying? But I think that just blew him up to a whole nother level. Pharoah has consistently been one of the best lyricists in hip-hop history to me. But outside of Simon Says, he's still kind of underground. You know what I'm saying? He's for the heads. He's for the people who, you know, cherish deep lyricism and deep thought, like how Organized Confusion was. So he hasn't had, outside of Simon Says, that moment, like maybe that freestyle moment where all the little hip hop heads on Twitter could say, oh, Pharoah Monk is that guy. You know what I'm saying? So I just think the exposure part is what why some people don't look at him like that. You know, so even though he can do anything any other MC can do, he's actually, to me, more versatile as an MC than Black Thought. You know what I'm saying? His discography, he's more, really? If you heard him rap one time, you heard him rap 1,000 times. That's not a diss to Black Thought, but he got that. Right. He has that same kind of flow, rapid flow. Unless he do a joint for the girls, he'll slow down. Pharoah, like we said, he'll talk about the bullets. He'll talk about, you know, naming people and getting shot. I mean, he'll get multiple flows. He'll sing a little bit. I mean, he has everything an MC can have, and I think he has more in his bag than Black Thought. I know some people going to see this and they're going to type some shit on your joint on Twitter, but he does.
Everybody out there watching, remember, y'all, if y'all don't have the same type Roots collection I got, don't say shit to me. If you ain't got the all 5 album covers of Things Fall Apart, don't say shit. Because if you done something, pause. If you gonna wild out for thought like that, at least own his shit. So niggas already know that shit with me. But you know, Tone, it's crazy. I'm sorry. Jen, go ahead, because I know you wanted to say something.
Oh, no. I was just pretty much the same thing that Tone was saying. I just think it's because he hasn't had that moment. Like, I'm sure if he went up to Hot 97 and he would... It would put a light to, you know, oh, you know, he can really rap, or he raps, you know, just as well. And I agree too with the versatility that he has over Black Thought. I like Black Thought on features. Sometimes not, it can get, it, he doesn't have that same versatility. I like the difference. I like to see artists grow. I like knowing it's not going to be an album of the same thing. They come back and you see, what have they been up to? What new thing have they learned? You know, what era is this? So I like that he, you know, stretches his artistry and, you know, gives us something different every time. But that might be why, because I've just learned fans want you to give them the same album every single time. And I hate almost when new music is released, because the, you know, the old fans will come say, well, this isn't like, you know, this will never be as good as Nas fans are notorious. This will never be good as Illmatic. They want the man to make another Illmatic. So I think that's the nature of fans plays a lot into that too. That people sometimes, if they want the same thing over time, changing your style sometimes alienates that sector of people. But I like it.
Right. Right. Meg, what about you? What do you think it is?
I think like the example of Black Thought on Flex, Black Thought was also high profile for a different reason. He's on Jimmy Kimmel. So there's a whole group of people who recognize him from that, but they don't know he gets down like that. So now, his name, you know, let me just get into some work stuff. His SEO is probably crazy, because he's on Jimmy Kimmel. So now when he do the freestyle, Fallon. And we're going crazy, hip hop heads are going crazy, but he also has these other people.
Perfect.
Get to look at him do it in that way. And I remember this one guy, and this is no diss to him, had asked me like, yo, you know, Black Thought, best freestyle, you know, ever? And I was like, hey, you know who you talking to? Like, I heard them all. No, right? It wasn't bad, but again, we've heard Black Thought get down like that. I think with Pharoah, I think the lawsuit took a little bit of steam away from him. because everybody...
For people watching, can you explain what the lawsuit you're talking about?
So Simon Says contained a sample from Godzilla, the Japanese joint, from back in the day that was not cleared. And they basically ceased and desisted until recently. So it was hard to find it anywhere at one point. It was, you couldn't really play it on the radio anymore. Like, his biggest hit was now in the shadows. And if you already had it, cool. But it didn't get to reach as many people as it could have, which could have opened the door for him to be even bigger at that point in time. And I think also, at some point, because I always hated this, even though I liked the songs, when he was featured on a lot of dope records, he was singing the hook. And I was kind of like, damn, Barrow don't get a verse? Like, My Life, right? That song is crazy. Well, Pharoah's just on the hook. Like, you know what I'm saying? And Styles
he kills
the hook.
Yeah,
they got a couple of joints. They got another joint called Children off of Styles P's Masters of Ceremony. I think that's the name of it. That song is crazy, but Pharoah's only on the hook. So it's kind of like, is this something he wants, or they want him to rap and he say, yo, I'll just give you a hook? But I think when there's opportunities to continue to show people what he can do outside of his own work, you know, he's just on a hook, or there's a one single song that's a video that I love, that I think everybody here would love, but you gotta go find it somewhere on YouTube. So I think it's things like decisions like that. So
let me ask you this. Without Flex, do y'all think Thought is still looked at as he is right now?
Nope.
Yeah.
We raced that Funk Flex freestyle. It never happened. You know, do you think as many people are still singing his praises like they do? Like, he's the GOAT.
I think so. Only reason I say is when the Freddie Gibbs album, what was that? When Paul, was he Paul Mott? No, Education. And when he rapped on that. And folks, you know, use that. I remember people holding that too as a measuring stick, his verse on Education, that, you know, like, you know, see, nobody wants to go after that, or, you know, after Black Thought. So I think that still kind of happens because of that. You still have that same reverence or that same thought.
Right. I think the thing to me that bugs me out about that freestyle is, like, Tone, you said it's a moment in time, but I feel like that's the one moment in time that nobody fucking forgot about. Like, everything else that happens in social media, like, it happens, and then we never talk about it again. Like, nobody talks about Tiger Woods and all that crazy shit he was doing. Like, shit just moves so quick. But that Black Thought freestyle, for somehow, some way, that's frozen and etched in a... It's etched in time. And everything else we forget about. Like, we forget about Kelly Oubre talking about he got hit by a car and he didn't get hit by a car, but maybe he got hit by a car. We'll forget about that by next week. We'll forget about Draymond choking out niggas by next week. But we have not forgotten about the Black Thought freestyle from, like, what'd you say, man?
I said, we ain't forgetting that. I'm not forgetting that.
He may choke somebody else before he come back. Like, but it's just so funny to me that that's etched in stone. But I felt what you were saying, because I don't know if y'all been keeping up with Gilly, and Gilly's been talking some shit to Jamal Crawford. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nigga, I could beat you one on one. You know what I mean? So Cam and them are putting together this thing where Gilly's gonna play Jamal Crawford one on one. You know what I mean? And Jamal is like, nigga, I got 10 tricks that y'all niggas have never seen before. I'm gonna pull out one on Gilly. You know what I mean? And Cam is like, come on, nigga. We done seen you hoop. We done seen you do mad shit. You trying to tell me you got 10 tricks that we ain't never seen? That's how I feel about Monch. I feel like Monch got 10 flows in his bag we ain't even seen yet. You know what I mean? So when we're talking about, like, you know, Thought is very one-dimensional. And again, for everybody listening, it's not a knock on Thought. It's a fucking fact. You know, if somebody says, Kill, we really don't like your beats. You really don't go over 93 BPMs. Nigga, I'm not offended. I don't go over 93 BPM. So if you like fast beats, you probably won't like my shit. It's nothing to be offended by. It just is what the fuck it is. But I feel like with Monch, like, this next album could be a whole nother flow we ain't never even heard before. You know what I mean? And we be sitting here like Cam is like, nigga, you really got 5-10 moves we ain't never seen before? It's like, I could see Monch being like, yo, I got 10 flows y'all ain't never seen before. Like, and I don't think Thought is going to give you that. You know what I mean? He's going to give you something incredible. And if that speaks to you, that's a blessing. Let it speak to you. But for me, I like Monch because he can just give you more. So it just had me thinking, like, what? Why is it? I mean, I don't know. Like,
it just stuck, man.
Because I mean, You Got Me is like their biggest hit, and they've never come close to anything from You Got Me. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know what do you think Monch would have to do? Is it even possible? It's 2023. He hasn't had. I mean, the last album was, I want to say, 2017. So he hasn't had an album out in 6 years. Would you say, Jen?
Oh no, I was just looking at the year.
Okay. Is there anything that you think Monch can do to have his name, like, it's almost like the dual Black Thought. Like, before that freestyle, 1 in 10 people were talking about Thought. After that freestyle, 10 in 10 people were talking about Thought. Is there anything Monch can do?
Yeah, gotta go viral. Basically gotta go viral. Like the Black Thought thing basically went viral. Every time some freestyle shit come up, it just always pop back up again and somebody tagging and say, nobody can rhyme like this. It's the greatest freestyle ever. And you know, yes, people respected Black Thought. Everybody always thought he was dope. But when he did that Funk Flex shit, it just took his name to a whole nother level on hip hop Twitter. And it's like folklore now, like the Black Thought thing, you know what I'm saying? So Pharaoh would have to go on Funk Flex or some huge, you know what I'm saying, platform and rhyme for them 12 minutes and do multiple flows. Cats would be like, yo, Pharaoh might be the best MC ever, or he better than Eminem, or Eminem wish he could rap like that. It got to be something crazy like that to make these hip-hop people go crazy, because outside of that, he could drop another underground classic next year, and people like us appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? But the masses will still sleep on him because, you know, he's not in that lane, you know what I'm saying? He's not a viral seat.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is even as I'm looking at these albums, I mean, even I think the average hip-hop head probably wouldn't be able to name you 5 Pharaoh out songs. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I'm not talking about the average listener. I'm talking about somebody who's an actual hip-hop head. I mean, you know, of course, you know, you got Simon Says, but after that, it's, you know, you've got to be a fan to really fuck with him. And Veg, I think Jimmy Fallon's a great point, because I remember after the freestyle, he went on the couch with Jimmy, you know, and Jimmy Fallon printed up all the lyrics and like they rolled it out. And it was like, man, like, look at all, you know what I mean? So it also was putting him in a different light, because now you're just not, because keep in mind, when he's on Jimmy Fallon's show, he's Tariq. You know what I mean? He's over there, he's Tariq. This was, he's on the couch and he gets to be Black Thought, you know, in front of everybody. You know.
Yeah, which is, you know, the
right. I've always felt some kind of way about that, but neither here nor there. Everybody get your money. Get your money. Hey, if you got to call me Rahman to give me 7 figures, hey, call me Rahman.
I just mean the couch thing, you know, it's kind of like, hey, nigga, you can come over here on the couch now.
Right. Come
on over here. Take his chains off. To bring him over here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why can't, well, it speaks to what we said before. We all know who was standing over there with that band. We all know what they're capable of, but there's an audience that didn't. And I think Jimmy knows, but to Tone's point, viral now. That's ratings also. Like, oh, y'all like him? Well, he over here with us. He ain't doing this shit. Right. Yeah, but we're going to bring him over and let him kick a little bit of rats for y'all.
Yeah, bro. I'm not going to hold you. There was a lot of things that would bother me when they'd be like, yo, Tariq, freestyle for the crowd. I'd be like, yo, man, don't do that shit, nigga. Like you said, little, come over here. Go entertain these white people real quick. Give them a little freestyle. Show them how you do what you do, boy. Show them.
Right. Quick. Show them that move.
Again. This is no, and again, for people watching, this is no knock on Thought or anything like that. For people who know I'm from Philly, I know the root. I don't know them. I've been fans of them forever. I support everything they do. I'm glad they're on Fallon. I'm glad they could get their money touring 300 days out of the year just to try to pay bills. I love to see them winning. So please, no one getting y'all feelings like, oh, y'all just hate. I'm so happy for them. Like I said, until you have, I brought every Questlove book. I brought his fucking cooking book, and I don't cook. So if y'all want to, you know, pop shit with me, you got to show me that you support them just as much as I do. And then we can have a conversation. But if y'all can't show me that you support these artists the way that I do, shut the fuck up and leave me alone. Like, where is bond to Jesus? Like, real talk. So everything they do, I support. Fucking his book, No Better Blues, and the Soul Train book, and the cookbook, everything that they do. But what they, for what they've done for my city and what they've done for Philadelphia, I will support them. I brought every album. I brought the albums I don't even fucking like. I still buy. So again, this is no hate towards nothing, anything like that. So again, before y'all even think about it, fucking go to Amazon and buy some shit and then show me and then we can have a discussion. But until that mystical, magical, majestical day comes, shut the fuck up and leave us alone.
Oh, Black Thought does have a book coming out, so.
I brought it and I've already read it. Like, there we go, y'all. I done brought it, read it already. Again, you know what I mean? So just keep in mind, nobody is shitting on anybody. I am more than happy for them that they are living and excelling at what they do and that they do not have to be on tour 300 days out the year and that they can enjoy. They have paid their dues and I'm happy for them. So just want to get that out there. Tell me this, y'all. What do you think makes Pharrell so dope? What do you think is his number one attribute? Jim, what, when you think about how dope Pharrell is, what is it that just speaks to you that makes him just so dope?
For me, I feel like it's his, you can feel his conviction through his music, and the things that he's willing to talk about. I know we talked before about like war and the albums, you know, being about guns and like bullets. He, if you read some of the lyrics, he's not afraid to express himself. And I feel like when I'm listening to his music, I'm getting the honest and truest of himself. That's how I felt. PTSD was that type of album for me. And I'm like, this felt very raw and somebody that cares about, you know, their art. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. I really like the way that he, you know, just is very honest in his music. It just has a real honesty about it.
And it's literally the exact same thing for me. I mean, when we talked about desire, you will feel me, you will admire my struggle, my hustle, my soul, desire. I feel that shit. Like, when Pharrell raps, like, I feel what he's saying. You know, when he's all these songs about, you know, I don't know if he's know someone who's been a victim of gun violence. I don't know what it is, but every time that he's talking about that, I feel that. You know, like, I don't feel like this is just some old, I'm just rapping the rap. It's like, no, I'm really rapping to say, it's a skit on a group home, an interlude on a group home album when Jay Rue was saying, you know, when you have a voice to say something, say something. And I feel like Pharrell does that. Pharrell uses his voice to say something and to say something different every time, and that's what I love about him the most. Veg, what about you?
For me, it's wordplay. I think in a lot of ways, and we kind of touched on it, not that it's a prerequisite for you to have some certain level of intelligence to understand him, but I think it's digestible enough, and especially in an age where you can Google words and meanings of things, you can kind of work your way through his music if it becomes difficult for you in that way. But what I like about it is nothing that you said was complex when you were quoting his lyrics, yet it was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
From a skill level. And I think being able to have that balance where you, if you're listening close enough, you can hear it. And, you know, sometimes it could be a detriment to him because they're just people who don't want to have to really think like that when it comes to music. But I think he has a lot of stuff on the surface and it's unpredictable. Like you said, his wordplay is unpredictable. His subject matter is unpredictable. He takes his time and that's what makes you appreciate it as a fan. And, you know, I think also, you know, talking about Eminem, you know, I always used to say that, like, Eminem reminds me a lot Pharrell Marsh. Yep. The main reason why I like Eminem is why I like Pharrell Marsh. The subject matter is different, but it's the technique. You know what I'm saying? And it's that level of attention to your lyrics that, you know, I think makes a lot of people say, you know, Eminem is one of the greatest or whatever. But Pharrell Marsh is like that coin, and he's an influence on Eminem because Eminem has said this publicly all the time. I think that's the thing he needs, to be honest. He might need that Eminem, might have to sign that Shady deal for like 1 year, get that glow real quick. Like Griselda, and just skate. Yeah. Like, all right, they know us now. We good, you know. So yeah.
right. So what about you? What do you love about Maj the most?
I think his range. His range as a overall artist. You know what I'm saying? To me, Pharrell's one of those special guys that can do everything on the mic. He has any kind of flow. He can ride any kind of beat. He can actually do hooks, and the hooks sound dope and not corny. He actually can make dope beats. I'm saying, every time I've heard him on a feature, whether he's singing a hook or rhyming, it sounds natural, it sounds good. You know what I'm saying? I actually think, you know what I'm saying? Again, he's gifted, man. His range as an MC, subject matter, he has everything, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, some MCs, one thing really good and a couple things okay. I think Pharrell can do everything great. Songwriting, the depth and levels in the writings, just so hidden meanings in the rhymes. You know, I can go on and on, man. Like, for people not familiar with who he really is, man, I've said this before, I'll put Pharrell up against pretty much any MC, and he can hold his own. Any era. He's that good.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that. Tell me this, Pharrell Monch, where do you have him? Does Pharrell crack your top 10 GOAT list? If you have a top 10 GOAT list. And if not, does he hover in the 20s? Where do you see Pharrell in your limit of however you rate MCs? Jen, what about you?
I don't have a strict list because it changes as I grow and evolve. So I would say would be in my top 20 if I had a list, but hover in the somewhere like the 1 to 15, 16 range, but he would be okay. 20.
All right. Monch actually makes my top 10 GOAT list. He's probably number 10. The amount of music he's put out, the amount of skill. And again, we all have, everybody has their own attributes, what makes up their list and everything like that. But yeah, he definitely, is 10 because like Tone just said, he can literally do it all. You know what I mean? And not just do it all, you know, a jack of all trades, a master of none. I feel like he's a master of all of his trades. You know what I mean? If you say, I need this type of song, he can give it to you. He's one of those artists who are just dope. Because there are some artists that just decide, like I said, if I decide, you know what, no more sampling, y'all, I'm going to just play a bassoon over drums, that don't mean the shit going to be dope. You know, and it doesn't mean that y'all are just supposed to like it because Kill decided he wanted to go try to do some different shit. Like, it has to be dope. And a lot of artists have tried that, to try to do different shit, and the shit wasn't dope. You know what I mean? But then you have artists like, in my opinion, Outkast. To me, every Outkast album has been different, but it's also been dope. Every D'Angelo album has been different, but it's been dope. Every Pharrell album has been different, but it's also been dope. A lot of people tried some different shit, and it wasn't dope. And then they get mad at us, like, whoa, y'all don't want me to grow. No, the shit wasn't dope, my nigga. Like, it just wasn't dope. Like, don't try to blame, this ain't, I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Like, no, nigga, this shit wasn't dope. Like, you know, so, I don't even want to go down my Common path of Electric Circus, but, you know, we all know Common fucked up, because he said he fucked up. When he was like, you know, we seen Common in the crochet pants, they said that shit was back. They heard the corny, they said that nigga's back. So Common knew he fucked up. Common knew how to get right and come back with B. So yeah, just because you decide to do something different doesn't mean it's gonna be dope. Veg, what about you? Does Monch make your top 10 GOAT list?
Nah, I'm more like Jen. When I think about GOAT, like, I don't necessarily have a list, except for number one. But he doesn't, for a lot of the reasons we mentioned, right? There's a lot of artists who, with as much range as he has, he's still an acquired taste, right? Whereas some cats are able to do what they do, be nice about it, have party records and all of that, and everyone can enjoy them equally. But he definitely, if it was a GOAT list, he would definitely be top 20. If it was just a straight up top 10 lyricist, he's probably top five for me, because again, listening to, you go back and listen to his music, whatever album we named, pick one, nobody's rapping like that. Like, nobody. Like, none of my favorites are rapping like that. And it's, and yeah, I think it's sad he don't get mentioned, or people mention him out of guilt. But they used to do the same thing with Black Thought before that damn freestyle. So, you know, like Tone said, maybe he just needs his viral moment, and then we could all come out like, finally, y'all caught up. Like,
yeah. Right. So, right. Yeah. And I swear that's how I felt like with Thought. Like, it was like, yo, nobody's been saying, I've never heard this nigga's name like this, right. You know, and now we could go. Right. What you say, Tone?
Yeah, you tweeted that before during that time.
Yeah. I'm like, nobody ever saying this nigga was the GOAT? And the wild part is, great freestyle. But goddamn, that's all it takes to make you the GOAT? Like, how do you go from nobody saying your name? Like, you literally, like, a person was like, I don't like Black Thought. And then because of that freestyle, you're the GOAT? You know what I mean? Like, so, and again, it's just, again, everybody isn't ahead. Everybody who listens to hip-hop isn't really ahead, and you know, they're much more them than it is us. So, you know, I get it. Were you gonna say something, Jen?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I think that has like a direct line to like the listening to music like within the first 20 minutes and calling it a classic. I think those things, the Venn diagram between very close.
Right, because I'm like, God damn, like, how was you losing the presidential race and now all of a sudden from a freestyle, it's a grand slide win now. Like, you went from not being mentioned to the greatest of all time because of a freestyle? Like, people, that's still amazing to me. Like, that's why I'm still tripping. Like, yo, we don't remember shit that happened a week ago, but niggas still remember that Black Thought freestyle. Like, we don't even remember there used to be a fucking disease that was killing people every fucking day, but we remember that freestyle. Like, that shit is etched in our minds. Like, you say COVID now, it's like, what's COVID? Like, oh, that shit from a couple of years ago, but the Black Thought freestyle, like, that shit, and I'm just amazed that that's, like, one of those things that have just, it's there. It's part of hip-hop. Like, and it's on the wall. Like, Rakim said, I'm just writing my name in graffiti on the wall. That shit is written on the wall somewhere, and as dope as I thought it was, I'm just like, God damn.
Same thing with Jadakiss. Yeah. With the verses, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. I had a dude call me.
Nobody's ever gonna forget that.
A dude called me like, yo, because I was saying Dipset was gonna win because I thought it was song for song. So I'm like, well, they got the joints, like, and it's a crowd. Like, I didn't know it was gonna be a show. And I'm like, well, if you're talking about bar for bar, it's the locks, easy. Yeah. But this dude called me and was like, yo, Kiss. I'm like, is this your first time listening to Jadakiss? Because back to the Clue tapes with Kiss. We already know he been nice.
Green Lantern,
that's a good example, because a lot of folks afterwards they were like, "Oh my God, Jadakiss can rap," and I'm like,
"That verse is like years old."
Yeah, so I don't think enough. I'm just introducing the new people, but a lot of folks were surprised, and I was like, "Come on now."
Right. And it really was crazy. I'm like, yo, if Jada was like a fucking stock, like, yo, we need to put all our money in that shit right before that verses, because afterwards it was like, it's a wrap. Like, again, the locks went from barely being mentioned as a hip-hop group to, yo, they the greatest group ever, top five group dead or alive. And I'm like, God damn, like, y'all are really living in the moment. And Vague, that's another great point, because that's never gonna die. You know what I mean? No. People will remember that before they remember fucking COVID. You know, that the locks, you know, tore down Madison Square Garden. Like, yeah.
So, right. That, you're like, remember where we were when that shit happened?
Right. We were doing, COVID was there. Like, no, right. We was just getting, like Fat Joe said, COVID is in here. It's here. Right. We're all about to die to go see this fucking show. It's here.
Right.
But we will remember that before. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Tone, what about you? Does Munch make your top 10 list? If you have a top 10 list or top 20?
So in like 2017, I started EntertheDome.com and I posted my top 20 MCs on at that time, like 6-7 years ago. And Pharaoh was number 17, if I'm not mistaken. Now that was 6-7 years ago, number 17. And truthfully, he could be much higher. But I'll go with what Vague said in terms of like, if we talking just skills, Pharaoh Munch one of the top 10 most skilled MCs of all time. He's definitely one of the top 10 skilled MCs. But a GOAT list, I have a number 17 because there are some very good MCs that might be more relatable who might have 10 or 12 solo albums of consistency, where Munch has like 4 or 5 solo albums, even though he does have the Organized Confusion albums as well. So he does have a pretty big discography if you look at everything and features and all that. But there's people who got more, who acquired, like Vague said, as much as Pharaoh. But I had him like 17 then. I can see him being as high as maybe even 13. But his skills, if we're talking about just a skilled person, then yeah, there's to me, there's not 10 more skilled people walking the earth than Pharaoh.
Right. Tell me this, where is he out of Queens? Top 5 out of Queens? Jen?
Ooh. Out of Queens. Hold on. Let me get...
You got your Nas's, your Prodigies, your LLs, your G-Raps.
Prodigies are really from Long Island, though, ain't
he? Top 5?
Yeah, is he top 5 from Queens? I don't know. I'll give Pete... God bless him, Daddy. Pete could be from where he want to be.
I would give him that top 5 from Queens. Oh, God. I really have to... I would give him that. When we're naming off the names, I would give him top 5. If we're talking about as a lyricist, yes. Top 5. Yeah,
as a lyricist.
Yes.
Oh, what about you? Top 5 from Queens?
I don't be an old head. I don't know, man. I love Run.
I mean, it's a lot. Queens got a lot of heavy hitters. I mean, Run, LL, G-Rap, Nas,
G-Rap,
Prodigy.
He's hanging in there.
Yeah, like
I got him.
He's definitely top 5 out of Queens. No question.
So, what about you?
Yeah, as a lyricist, he's top 5. As an overall, if it's a list, it's tough because Queens probably one of the deepest boroughs with MCs, you know what I'm saying? But I would say skill wise, top 5. Overall, maybe slightly outside of top 5.
All right. One of the things I want to salute Maj for too is because a lot of people, like Nick, put me on this. My man Nick, who used to be on the writer's bench with us, put me on this. He was like, yo, Kill, I can't put MCs who are in a group in my top 10 GOAT list because you're not writing whole 6, you know, you're not writing a whole 48. You're just part of a group. You're just writing a 16. And not too many people come out of the group and have a good solo career also. And I feel like Maj is one of those people who was part of an incredible group, you know, broke off, and then also had an incredible solo career. You know what I mean? It's not a grand poobah where you're leaving Brand New Bands and you put out 2 good albums. You know, like, no, I think Maj has had an amazing solo career. I mean, I could almost say his solo career is better than the group's career. You know what I mean? So I definitely want to salute him for that because that's something that a lot of people in hip-hop don't do. Big Boy is another person who, I mean, again, we care more about 3000 and the Flute than we care about these 3 Big Boy albums that he's dropped, which to me are dope as shit. The one he just dropped with Sleepy was crazy to me. So I just want to give Maj credit for that. But back to what we were talking about earlier, why do you think Organized Confusion doesn't get mentioned amongst the groups? You know, we're on Twitter, we see it every day, we see the same groups. I've never seen Organizer's name. Jen, what do you think? What do you think why that is?
I honestly don't know. Sometimes I hear them being brought up, but I don't know. Maybe it's a lack of, like, I guess because we don't bring them up as being a group, but I'm stumped at that. I don't know why we don't bring them up, because whenever I'm trying to think, when we talk about duos, it's all I hear about Outkast,
Mobb Deep.
I don't know why.
Vague, what about you?
I think just because, I think they just slept on because they was even slept on in their own era.
Right.
And, you know, before, I mean, when you think about Equinox and when it came out, it's a different time in hip hop. Yeah, there's an audience for that, but you know, the attention is on a lot of other stuff. And I think stuff like Simon Says was kind of like Pharaoh Monch understanding, or Raucus or whoever, understanding the time and how to have impact and have a radio record and still be you. And I think back then with Organized, right, that first album had a couple of joints, but it wasn't nothing crazy. Stress, again, the beats weren't nothing crazy, but lyrically they were. And by the time they got to their third album, I think niggas just stopped checking for them because there was so much more out. You know, so much more that was new, right? Like, think about who was released during their run. Like, you know, Boo and Biggie and Nas and, like, all the Tribe was running. Like, there just wasn't no one paying attention to them like that except for Heads and the Source magazine who were, you know, looking for that kind of music, so.
And I mean, even when I think about the first album, you know, with Fudge Pudge, and even that album, like, Who Stole My First Piece of Chicken? To me, it was, like, right there with, like, that I Left My Wild and El Segundo. They were, you know, kind of abstract-ish, weird-ish shit. And then, like you said, Stress, the album comes out in 94, but you got Tribe, you got Woo, you got Big, you got all these other names that's coming out. You mix in the fact that you really got to pay attention to them. Like, you know, Boot Camp is out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and this is music that's dope that you don't have to pay attention to. You just listen to Bucktown and you get it. It's not like, okay, we got to sit down and have a cipher about what is, all right, what is Tekken still talking about? Like, you know what I mean? And then, like you said, by 97 comes, we all know now we're in the shiny suit era and everything is shifting in music. So I definitely think that too. So what about you? Any thoughts on why Organized, you know, didn't blow or aren't even mentioned now?
Yeah, I think I got it. Most known groups that get their proper respect had a signature song or two or three signature songs. We said Left My Wild as a Gunner, but it didn't matter because they had Bonita after that. Then they had Check the Rhyme after that. War 2 after that. De La Soul had Me, Myself, and Not. Daz Effects had They Want Effects. You know what I'm saying? Every group, Brand Newbies even had Wake Up, Sunshine, Slow Down, and played in the. We was young. Organized Confusion got underground songs, so they didn't have their award tour moment or their Stakes Is High moment or even their You Got Me moment from the Roots. You know what I'm saying? Every Mobb Deep has Shook Ones moment. You know what I'm saying? Now Shook Ones, maybe they stay underground. Maybe they, you know, Black Moon had a Got Your Open remix. So okay, Organized Confusion doesn't have that. We know about Fudge Pudge and Straight Bullet. These aren't commercial joints. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know how Fudge Pudge got on rap. It got there, but it's not a signature song for hip hop. They don't have right. They don't have that. So they forever slept on.
And that's because, a good.
Yeah.
And that's a great point because all the songs you're naming aren't even shit that was like trying to cross over. Like I Got You Open, How Many MCs, Bucktown, you know, LaFleur. Like these were just shits that we loved. You know what I mean? They don't have a Come Clean. They don't have a Mass Appeal. They don't have a crossover. They don't have any song that really stands out to people who aren't fans of them. Like, you don't have to be a fan of Tribe Called. I know people who claim they're Tribe Called Quest fans and they only know the singles. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they don't know what God Lives Through. You know, they don't, you know, but of course they know Electric Relaxation, Award Tour, you know, Check the Rhyme, Can I Kick It, Bonita. And you're right that they didn't have those joints.
I mean, look, even Black Sheep had Flavor of the Month. You know what I'm saying? Camp Flo had Lucci.
They had the choices. Shit, look, you see, Dress got a documentary about to come out, like on them. You know what I mean? Like on Amazon next week. Like, you know, the choice is yours was everywhere. You know what I mean? And again, like I said, I think the biggest thing, prayerfully, you know, we get another Monch album because it's been so long. I mean, I'm looking at this like Eternal Affairs dropped in 99. Desire didn't drop until 2006. You know what I mean? So he's going 7 years without a joint. Then Desire was 2006. War was 2011. That's another 5 years. PTSD was 2014. So the last time we've got a Monch album was 2014. You know? It's almost been 10 fucking years. You know, since we got a Monch album. And would you say, Tom?
Yeah, I said, you're right from earlier. He is Sade.
You know, he's the hip-hop Sade, dog. Like, yo, he hasn't. But here's the thing that I the beauty about it is that when your art speaks the way it does, we're still here doing a salute show and loving on somebody who hasn't dropped the album in 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not a lot of MCs, in my opinion, that you could say that about. That we're like, yo, we got to salute this dude and bigging him up for over an hour and a half. And then you look at the numbers, it's like, oh shit, this man ain't dropped since 2014. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, prayerfully, we get another Pharoah album. You know what I mean? And again, I'm never trying to be in nobody's pockets, but I'm just like, yo, how do you survive? Like, you know, I'm like Dre said, if you don't move your feet, then I don't eat. So we like neck to neck. It's like, nigga, you know, I know you was doing some ghostwriting for Puff, but goddamn, you know, that was back in the forever days. But so, I mean, I'm sorry, what'd you say, Tom?
I'm sorry, yeah. He might be one of them guys that just constantly tour a lot. And of course, we know overseas, you know what I'm saying? Hip-hop gets a lot of love, man. A lot of cats who we deem the underground have huge followings in multiple countries, man. You know what I'm saying? So he have that kind of thing set up where he doing a nice amount of tours every year and eating good.
Right.
And look, I could see him ghostwriting because Simon Says is a perfect example, right? My pen doesn't have to, my shit may be complex, but I could bring it down a little bit to still give you a dope joint. So, I mean, when you look at it, he could be ghostwriting. We just don't know. Like the Smooth, the Hustler, and Trigger the Gambler, we just talked about them. Right. And then they wind up on Math podcast. And you come to find out, like, oh, they may just be writing all this time. Like, you know what I'm saying? You just don't know. So.
What are you gonna say, Jen?
No, I agree with Vegas. I think maybe that's how people survive, like very on the low, is by like ghostwriting for people that you would never even think of. And I think that I could see that happening. And because he has a versatility, you can, you know, go and write for anyone, and you have that ability to change up your style. So I could see that being the way he's surviving. Right now,
yeah, that's dope. I'm sitting here debating if I want to ask a question or not. I'm gonna ask a question. It doesn't have to be a long thing, but I'm intrigued. And I may have asked y'all this before. Do you have a problem with an MC having a ghostwriter?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Tone, what about you, babe?
Yeah.
What about you, Tom?
Depends on who it is.
Okay.
If it's damn Rakim, Nas, and all them, don't break my heart. But you can't have nobody.
Right. I feel what you said. I'm just wondering because it's almost just like, you know, we hate the drug dealer, but do we hate the drug addict? So I'm just wondering if we hate the person, if we hate MCs. Who has a ghostwriter? Do we hate the ghostwriter for writing for
him? No, I would say because I don't hate the business because it's been that way before me, right. Before I even knew, you know, and unfortunately, you know, we thought it was different for hip hop, but it really wasn't in a lot of ways. But I think I don't necessarily hate it if it's really good. You know what I'm saying? Like. If Puff has one verse where I'm like, damn, I know he didn't write it, but it sound like he did. I don't mind it because you're performing, right? Because, look, I'm not going to say it again, but y'all know how I feel about Michael Jackson.
Right.
When I was young, I thought Michael Jackson wrote every damn word of everything he sang.
Right.
I'm like, it's this song. Then it's like, no, Ron Templeton. I'm like, who's that? You know, but I'm going to say it like this. If imagine Lionel Richie singing about monsters, we'd be like, get this bullshit out of here. But Michael Jackson's performance skills said only he could do it, right? Only he can turn it into that. So I feel like, you know, it's kind of like what Tone said. It depends on who it is. Because, you know, if you're telling me somebody's writing for Rakim, well, I might have to think my hip hop history over because I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. So
now, just like I said, just I always was thinking about that when we was talking about, you know, ghostwriters, because it's like, if we hate the person who's getting ghostwritten for, then do we hate the ghostwriter? Because you're part of the problem. You're the drug dealer. Like, you know, we're like, yo, all these crackheads in our neighborhood, you know, but we not mad at the drug dealer. Like, we like, mom, get off crack, but we not mad at JJ and for selling mom crack. You know what I mean? So it's like, neither here nor there. Dope show. If y'all haven't, prayerfully by the end of this, we have at least intrigued you enough to go listen to some Organized Confusion. Here's the crazy thing. This Marco Polo joint came out a couple of years ago, and they had a joint on here. Organized Confusion was back. with Poen and Munch, and it was called 3 o'clock, and this shit was crazy. I want to say there's a video for this. This shit was crazy. And I mean, it really had me like, yo, I'm ready for it. If it's going to sound like that, I'm all in for another Organized Confusion album. So prayerfully, again, we have given you the roadmap of where to start. Start with Internal Affairs. Go on from there. Go on and be fruitful. Check out Organized Confusion. Check out Macha's whole discography. Vague did a great job of bringing in a lot of joints that were features so that you could see where else he's at. But prayerfully, like I said, you're intrigued to go and hear more about Macha. Jen, where can they get at you, miss?
They can get at me at Nola Darling on Twitter at Nola Darling and on TikTok as well at Nola Darling.
All right, and tell them about what you're doing with the fashion and everything that you got cooking up.
Yeah, so every Wednesday, I do a very quick kind of like a put together of an outfit. I'm going to expand that over the weeks. Right now it's Wednesday because that's the day that I go into the office. And it's just helping people come up with outfits or things to wear, you know, as you're returning back to the office. And you know, we've been in sweatpants for almost like 2 years, so it's like helping people recapture their style after, you know, this period of time in the house. And you know, lately I've been too covering like my travels and things that I've been doing and, you know, places I stay when I do travel and to different destinations. So it's a little of everything, and that is on my TikTok.
What the happened with that? So where can they get at you, bro?
Twitter, Into the Dome or Tone of the Dome, it all pop up. The link on there for IntoTheDome.com, of course, the Dome Podcast on YouTube. It's all on my Twitter, man. Check me out. Peace.
Right, no doubt. Vague, where can they get at you, bro?
All right, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, spell all that at VegasWorldINC. And you can check out my podcast, Hip Hop Now Podcast, available right here on YouTube in my garage, like I am right now. I was going to wear the hoodie today, but I was like, I want to be respectful to Pharrell Marsh, you know. I want to wild out.
No doubt. You already know it is for me. Kill889, Twitter, IG. Another dope Marsh piece again, 13. Great, yep. A magnificent day for an exorcism. Now, again, this is totally different than anything else you're going to hear. This is not 100% hip-hop. It's with him and his rock band. So, again, an artist being an artist. I know a lot of Mach fans who were disappointed they brought this, thinking they were going to get beats and bars, and they didn't get it. You know what I mean? But still a very dope album. So, definitely different way to check it out. And just for people, again, as you can see right there, the new Black Thought book, and you can see right under it says finish. So yes, I buy the books too, good people. So again, no hate on the roots. Real quick, just so that people understand, I was not dissing 3000 this week, because I've got more hatred this week from young niggas calling me old with a gray beard and 45-year-old niggas and y'all hating on. I want 3000 to do whatever 3000 wants to do. My whole thing is I was fucking with people. Not making fun of. I fuck with people. I was fucking with people who now cared about a flute solo album, who didn't know what the fuck a flute was before 3000 picked up a flute. That's all I was saying. That's it. Andre, here's the thing. I would rather never get an Andre hip-hop album if his heart is in it than to get 5 Andre hip-hop albums that's half bad, because he really just... he doesn't want to rap, but we want him to rap. I want you to do whatever you want. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that this is an incredible album tonight. I hope everybody falls in love with jazz and runs out and, you know, listens to more people playing the flute. I hope all these great things happen. But I just wanted to put that out there because you motherfuckers can't read, because I specifically said I got no problem with what 3000 is doing. But just wanted to put that out there, y'all. I will check y'all next week, good peoples.
1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2. It goes to 1, 2.